Welcome into the Locked On Bengals podcast special edition, extended edition. This is happening on Wednesday night. I'm joined by Joe Goodberry of The Athletic. I just got off the phone with him, talked to him about a bunch of stuff. You can find us on Twitter at James Rapine, at Locked On Bengals. Subscribe, iTunes, the iHeartRadio app, Google Play, Stitcher, wherever you get your podcast, you can find us here, Locked On Bengals. If you're new to the podcast, I'm James Rapine. I cover the Bengals for ESPN 1530 and 700 WLW in Cincinnati, and this is a podcast that gives you your daily Bengals fix. Fun part is, this is the second pod of the day. Joe had the ability to join me. We had an extended conversation about all sorts of stuff. Last week we did that. You enjoyed it. I got some good feedback, so I decided to do it again. Here's Joe. We start out by talking about Cordy Glenn, and he jumps right into it about his film study of Cordy Glenn and how much he likes watching LeSean McCoy.
Watching Cordy Glenn, LeSean McCoy is so fun and so good. I wish we had a guy with that type of speed and elusiveness. It's wild. He is so damn good. I think he gets underrated still.
Yeah, I got into an argument with Mo around when they played the Bills this year that LeSean McCoy was still a top five, top ten running back. He didn't think so.
I got it. He might be top two.
Yeah, like he's doing that in Buffalo. That's what I don't think people understand. And
oh, right. There's no other receivers or anything to take away attention. The quarterback isn't taking away attention. He'll take his, negative one, negative two, and just go down because he knows he's not going to power through anybody. But that's okay if you're going to break off 15 on the next run. This is fun watching him.
Yeah, it would be cool. Hopefully Mixon can have a breakout and you can enjoy watching him this year.
If Mixon breaks out in any fashion, he doesn't have to be McCoy, but it changes the offense completely. And I'm down. I'm ready for that.
Yeah, I think so too. I think that's why, and I know, heck, our conversation was lost, but that's why to me, if you invest in a right tackle, it just... Because you mentioned it with James Daniel. You think Daniel will be there at 21?
Yeah, I think he should. I think that's when you start the range of seeing him go. I think the guards could go as early as Dallas. I think they're at 16, 15 in that range. And if they don't go there, I think, the Bengals, and that's when the interior guys could. That's probably the highest they go. And there's a few teams in there and that teams that could do it, I guess. But, yeah, I think Daniel should be there. I think there's a chance. I expect Price to be there at 46, so I guess that's kind of the trade-off. Do you say, well, take the best center or the guy that's the most rare or the most unique in Daniels? Because his athleticism is nuts. He can get to that reach block and get to that front side nose tackle. Like Travis Frederick for Dallas, I think Frank Pollock's going to love Daniels. But or do you say the value is there if we take Price at 46? And I can listen to both arguments, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean... To me, I think people here love Price because he went to Ohio State. I said it.
Oh, for sure.
It kills me, man. Like, it's fine. Like, he's really good. But, like, I don't even know if Price is going to be there at 21. And I'm like, come on, man. Like, he tore his pec.
Right.
Like, he's going to,
arguing with me.
He's going to be there.
Best player on the Ohio State team. And I'm like, okay, even if you say that, fine. But Denzel Ward is definitely the best prospect from Ohio State. So that logic just doesn't make sense to me. And then I think Sam Hubbard's really good. So, it may not work out that Price is the best one or two guys even, in the NFL in a couple of years from this class for them.
Yeah, when I hear you say unique athleticism, I'm like, all right, that's what I want. I want
right.
Someone unique. And it would just, I think it would do wonders. Because when I think unique athletes, I think Joe Mixon. And Giovanni
right.
Bernard, and then having a
right.
center like that who could do that, I just think it would be cool. I also think that, and call me crazy, but moving back to 21, everything is in play now, besides running back and punter and kicker and receiver.
Oh, sure.
I think quarterback's in play now.
You think quarterback's in play?
I think it should be. At 21?
Oh, I mean, it should have been in play at 12.
Right? Yeah, but now it makes it even, less. It's not as big of a stretch. I don't know. I think it affects the way the Bengals think. I think it affects it.
Yeah, maybe.
Because they have the left tackle pulled.
And here's the thing, too. The deeper you get into the draft, because especially the top 15, top 20, quarterbacks are getting overdrafted. They're not top 10 players in the draft, but they will be drafted top 10. You follow me? So if you're sitting there at 12, chances are best player available is not quarterback at all. Even if you like Lamar Jackson or Josh Allen or whoever it is, they probably don't grade out as top 12 guys, but you may really like them, and that's why they could go that high. But at 21, if Jackson's still there, Allen, Mayfield, I don't expect any of them to be, but if they were, there's a chance they're best player available. So I could see it in that scenario.
Yeah, I think Jackson is the best player available at 21. I mean, how wouldn't he be? In all seriousness, you're taking a center or Michael Vick?
Well, here's the thing. There was a mock where Roquan Smith was still there. And now we had the same debates of Jackson and Roquan at 12. So what would you do?
Good God. What would I do? Again, I lean, if I believe Jackson is, and this is it. This is what it comes down to. Jackson's a good kid, but I'll do, he's a freak athlete. Does he study the film? If so, I believe he's Michael Vick who watches film. Michael Vick didn't watch film in Atlanta. Didn't try off the field to do any of that stuff. And he was still a freak. Imagine if Lamar Jackson is that, plus he actually pays attention and is film savvy and hardworking and all that stuff that most quarterbacks need to do.
I like Lamar Jackson more because it's the Bengals, and they have the opportunity to let him sit. Now, I
agreed.
Don't know if they'll build the right offense for him, but we may be talking about a whole different offense in 2 years anyway, so that doesn't scare me away as much as the opportunity is enticing to let him sit. But I'd feel like I end up in those all the times on those fan speak mocks and first pick mocks, and I go, I can't pass on Roquan Smith. He's so damn good. I know. I feel like he will be good. While I feel like the upside is probably similar for Jackson and Smith, different positions, but those guys could be stellar players, that difference-making type players. I feel like I know Roquan is going to be that, where Jackson, because he's a quarterback, because the hit rate isn't that great, you know, there's a chance of bust, obviously.
Yeah, exactly. It'd be tough, but it opens it up. Like, now we can have the legitimate conversation. People are going to listen to this and be like, oh, Lamar Jackson. But I wouldn't be shocked if one of those other guys fell, Joe, to be honest with you. I wouldn't be shocked. I think Allen's going to go top three.
I could see it. Right. I have a hard time believing any of them won't go on the top 15, because besides Jackson, for some reason, because NFL teams are weird. But
yeah.
I think
agree.
Mayfield goes as maybe Broncos, right? Seems like the perfect.
I
don't know why. It seems like that's lining up. Buffalo's going to move up. I hear they like Rosen. They could like Darnold and Allen also, but it seems like the it depends on what the Browns are going to do at one. And it's just, to me, I still think they go Sam Darnold. So that kind of leaves, where does Allen fit if the Bills move up and get Rosen? And does Allen fit with the Jets or the Cardinals? And I still think they all end up going in that top range.
Have you watched any of the quarterback? Like, have you went back and watched them again? We talked about this a while back, but
I don't know if I went back and watched. The last time I seen them all was the combine, which was a couple weeks ago.
Okay, what's your rank? Who do you have one?
I think Rosen is the most game ready. I still think Mayfield is the best overall. I like his intangibles and what, you know, the quick decisions. Pinpoint accuracy, I think his arm is way stronger than people give him credit for, because I think people assume size with arm strength, and that's not the case. I think Mayfield's the best. I still have concerns that he's going to end up in a worse offense than he had at Oklahoma, and I think that's, if he came to the Bengals, their offense would be worse than what he ran in Oklahoma, no doubt about it, and that's going to make him a worse player, and his production's going to drop. But so I like him. I like the upside of Darnold, but I definitely would try and sit him for as long as possible, 2 years. I wouldn't touch Allen at all. I like Jackson a lot. I think Jackson, his splash plays per regular plays is through the roof over anybody in this draft, any position. So for me, I would have no problem taking Jackson. The only thing that gives me pause on Jackson is that people say he's going to go later. So for me, I always try and put value into it. But I would take Mayfield, Rosen, and Jackson as my top three, and I'd feel comfortable taking any of them in the top 10.
You just don't like
that. Those three. Darnold and Allen, I would probably put as the next group. Darnold, to me, his upside, he still looks like a Jameis Winston, Ryan Fitzpatrick type, where he's going to make a lot of, or try to make a lot of plays. In trying to keep upright in the pocket, he fumbles a lot because of it, tries to force throws, force back across his body. I just think he's super risky, and that is hard to take away. at the same time, I watch a quarterback every week that and Andy Dalton that won't take the risks. So I'm not completely against it.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. I don't think there's a chance in hell Lamar falls to round two, by the way. I don't think that that's happening. But 21, well, I could see the Bengals, if they get enamored with him, again, at this point last year, let's be honest here, no one really thought they were taking John Ross at this point last year either.
No.
But like the beat writers and stuff, no one was doing it. No one was. We talked about wide receiver more than anyone.
We talked about Ross right after the combine.
Yeah.
I bet if you go back, we say, you know what? We weren't thinking of Ross, and the value might not be there at 9, but we're not getting him in the second round anymore. 51, I think, where they're picking.
Yep.
And we're not going to get him there. So now do you want him at 9? And we both were like, yeah, this offense needs it. And I remember that conversation. And I, not to say we're first, but, I mean, I do believe we
were. Nah, we were first. It's all right. hell, man, as many people as remind me, oh, you wanted John Ross, you bum. We're still taking credit for that and owning it.
As soon as John Ross smokes somebody for a 50-yard touchdown,
I know
everyone's going to be happy, and it's going to happen.
That's the thing is the Billy Price thing is if John Ross, I tell him all the time, if John Ross went to Ohio State, everyone here would love him. Still,
oh, they'd be like Ted Ginn.
Oh, yeah, good God. Twice the player Ted Ginn is, but they don't know. By the way, I got an alert here on my phone, Ian Rappaport, saying that your guy, because you love him. I'm just kidding. Mike Glennon, 2 years, $8 million from Arizona. So that means, you know what that means, Joe? That means that they're paying Mike Glennon, Andre Smith, 2 years, $8 million, with up to $10 million for the former Bengals right tackle, and Sam Bradford, all the money that was going to go to Tyrann Mathieu, and they move
more
on from
money.
The Honey Badger. Yeah, more money. You're right. That's way more, actually. I'm bad at math. That's way more. That's 16 plus 15 plus 4. That's a lot. That's 30 plus million dollars.
That's bad. That's
Who would you rather have, those three guys, even if you had to draft a quarterback, those three players or Tyrann Mathieu?
It's easy choice for me because Mathieu, because I wouldn't get myself continually. We see it across the league constantly where teams get themselves in a situation with average quarterbacks and they waste so much money and they hurt their team in the long run with it. That's why I love what Buffalo's doing. They said, we're out of here with Tyrod. We'll get a third round pick, which I think is great value for everyone pretty much knew they would get away from him. They're moving up, making trades to get up and get the quarterback they want. I think they're doing it great. That's the way the Eagles did it a couple years ago. I just can't see myself signing McCown with the Jets or Case Keenum with the Broncos or Sam Bradford with the Cardinals. I just don't. You know, I thought Teddy Bridgewater got, what was it, 1 year, $5 million or in that range?
Yeah, and he can make up to $15 million with a bunch of different escalators and things.
Man, I would have loved to have given that deal to Teddy for the Bengals.
I said that on ESPN 1530 today.
Oh, really?
I swear. Yeah, 1 year, $5 million? I was shocked when I heard that.
Right, and put the same incentives in there. If Dalton goes down and you got to play 10 games and whatever, or whatever it is, fine. You know, we'd love to have Teddy as the backup quarterback. I wish that would happen because the Jets are still going to draft one. So for him, it's going to be a 1 year stop, maybe two if McCown retires because he's old. And Teddy can still hold it for another year or two. But still, I thought that was an interesting move by him.
I got to ask you a couple things here. I want to talk to you about the AJ McCarron thing. But just because we're talking about Tyrann Mathieu, he's available on the podcast. The moment he became available, I'm like, all right. Boom, I'm doing it. And I talked about him, and I talked about Cameron Fleming, and it was 12 minutes of me saying why it could happen, how it should happen, because they have the cap space, even though they act like they don't. I'm hearing at least there's at least some chirping. I'll say this, and I don't know if you've heard this or not. I know you have the people you talk to as well. The Bengals were seriously considering moving on from Iloka, one of the safeties, if they got Kurt Coleman. And to me, I looked at the numbers and I was like, huh, if they move on from Iloka, and I asked Andre Parada about it too, who's great follower for the Bengals cap stuff. And I was like, what do you save? And he said $4.4 million. So if they're willing to do that, I think the only way you do that is if you're upgrading drastically, if you're going after like that playmaking, ball hawking, turnover type safety. And to me, that would be a guy like Honey Badger. Am I wrong?
You're not wrong. I just wonder who's your free safety if it's Iloka that you're getting rid of.
I know.
it's not Sean Williams, and it's not Matthew. It's not what he's done. He is.
And you like Iloka, right? Like, I think everyone likes Iloka, and I was surprised to hear that. And I don't know if it's 100% accurate, but even if the Bengals feel that way, that would be interesting.
Who knows what's going on behind the scenes, and you know, attitude-wise or whatever. You know, you never know. But they don't put Iloka in position to make plays either, so maybe he's frustrated. I don't think they put the safeties at all in position to make plays. But if you did that, and let's say you're with Sean Williams and Tyrann Mathieu, what are you going to do? You know, you need a deep guy. Matthew's going to you want to get him into the box to help him cover slot guys and tight ends too, because you want to get him close and near the football. It's going to take some steps from Darquez Denard also. You can stay in your base defense and let Matthew come down and cover the slot. That's great, but you're taking snaps from a quality player. So, for me, the fit, I don't know how they'll do it. I'm all for bringing in good players, and especially guys that don't count against your compensatory pick formula. So I'm for it if they can figure it out. But I think too many teams are going to get involved that's going to raise the price to the point where if you're seeing him as a role player or we'll figure it out as we go, you probably can't commit yourself to spend the money. You know what? Another guy, though, was reported a couple of days ago, but today is official, obviously, and Ndamukong Suh being a cut. There's another guy that I think is still very, very good, and I'm all for it, to be honest with you. It won't hurt the comp picks. It may cost you $10, $12 million in a one-year deal, but I think he would drastically help that. I mean, think of that defensive line of Sue, Atkins, Dunlap, Willis, Lawson, you know, all those guys coming off the edge. That would be fantastic and change the defensive front. It would add huge talent.
I'm on board there. And if you do that, then you can say, look, we're moving on from Michael Johnson. Like, that's how right. I look at it. Like,
and Michael Johnson's $8 million cap hit?
It's something like that. And I know you say it's a $5 million cap savings if you move on from him.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Sue, he obviously is familiar with defensive coordinator Terrell Austin. Yeah. I'd be interested. So him and Geno, you think? God.
Oh, yeah, you can do it. And that's one of those guys where you won't need a true nose tackle because they're going to get doubled anyways. So, you know, you don't really have to worry about having a spacier because the offensive line is going to be focused on them. They're not going to get to the second level to get those linebackers anyways.
It's interesting. Yeah, I'd be on board with it. I think we agree here. Like, if you got a Sue, and I thought this too, and I've got this on Twitter because I floated it out on the podcast. If you let's say you swapped out Williams for Tyrann Mathieu,
well then I'm listening and saying,
and that's the thing. Like, out of the two, they both come with dead money if you move on from them. I would personally rather have Iloka. That's why I was shocked to hear that. And again, maybe it's inaccurate. But that's interesting.
It is interesting.
Have you?
And it's, you know, because you heard Jeff Hobson say they will consider a safety at 12. I think it puts them in range again at 21 to consider safety. So I guess I'll start looking at safeties a little harder.
Yeah, exactly. I think they're wide open as far as the draft goes. All right, Joe, I have breaking news. It is 7:29 Eastern time. Multiple reports now that A.J. McCarron has agreed to a 2-year contract with the Buffalo Bills.
That is amazing. The Bills and Bengals, best friends since the Andy Dalton and Tyler Boyd touchdown.
It's insane.
Corey Glenn and then A.J. McCarron. You know what? My first thought was, yes, we're back into a conflict scenario, but that's bad because that might freeze the Bengals for a little bit. But they should sign Russell Bodine too because they lost Eric Wood. Come on, Bills, do it all. You're my second favorite team easily then.
Yeah, like, it's crazy because this happens, and A.J. finds himself in the same spot he would have found himself in Cleveland. They're going to draft a quarterback, that's apparent, yeah. But he's going to try to beat out a rookie and show he can play in the league and be a starter, hopefully for a full season, hopefully in his mind for a full season, because the rookie's going to take over.
Right, if he plays well, you know what, he's going to get another contract, or the Bills will be able to trade him. This is all he could have asked for, to be honest. Give me a chance to play. I know you're going to draft a guy. Nobody came out and said, we want you to be our franchise guy. Obviously, it's a 2-year deal. So we haven't got the terms yet, but just off 2 years, you can tell in how long he sat there. But the Bills say, listen, you know we're taking a guy, but we need a bridge quarterback. If the guy we draft isn't ready, you're going to start the first half of the year, maybe the full year. If you play well, you're going to get a job elsewhere. No other team's really guaranteeing that he's going to start the season. And I think you can really expect that with that situation in Buffalo.
Tyrod Taylor or A.J. McCarron, who's better? I think Tyrod Taylor is certainly better.
Taylor's better, and we've got more tape to confirm that and more production. So Taylor's better, but that doesn't mean they can't run their offense more efficiently with McCarron, because there were times Tyrod would hold the ball a little too long or miss guys that were coming open and wouldn't throw it. I think McCarron's kind of the opposite. He'll keep you on time, and he'll throw the ball, and he's got the guts. He'll push it downfield. You look at his 7 touchdowns, I think it was 7, in 2015. All of them were over 15 yards downfield. He will push the ball, and he's not afraid to do it. So that's different from Tyrod.
How about this? You ready? Just because it's fun and it's a podcast, and why the hell not? Joe, let's do this. Let's move on from 3 players. You ready? Brandon okay. LaFell, Michael right. Johnson,
okay.
Sean Williams. Okay?
Okay.
Let's get Geno Atkins on the phone with Ndamukong Suh. Okay? Because right now you're cutting Sean Williams. You're saving, I think, around $13 million in cap savings doing that between those three. Something like that, I would assume. Something like that. I know it's 9 without Williams, so I'm guessing on the Williams deal. But anyways, you're saving a lot of money. Go after Suh, right? And we know they have the cap space for Honey Badger anyways. So just get both. Because then you have Iloka, Matthew, you have a lockdown corner in William Jackson III, Geno Atkins and Ndamukong Suh up front with the Carl Lawson and all those other guys pass rushing, Dunlap on the other side. Like, that to me, if you're talking about, like, dominant, getting back to, like, contending, that instantly makes you probably, on paper, the best defense in the league.
Yeah, I still like the Eagles because they continue to add on the defensive line since the offseason started. But, yeah, I would be for that. I think that's how you build a championship defense.
And it would take a lot of money. You're probably talking $25 million between those two guys.
In guarantees.
Yeah.
Not just cap hits, I think. I think you're talking guarantee. I could see Matthew getting 3-year deal, $38 million, and someone giving him like $18 million guaranteed. I can see Ndamukong Suh getting a 2-year deal, $25 million with $15 million guaranteed. So I think you're talking huge money that the Bengals don't typically give out. And I think that's why we can't ever consider these guys. We can say, yeah, it makes perfect sense. But the Bengals operate under their own cap. It's their own self-imposed cap. And I'm not talking about cap money, cap dollars like everyone else. I'm talking guaranteed cash, guaranteed money. You have to sign a check on the day they sign it, put it in an escrow account, and let it sit there through the life of the guarantees. And the Bengals just don't do it. Last year they signed off on about $18 million in guarantees between the extensions, restructures, re-signing guys, and the couple free agents they did bring in, like Minter and Andre Smith. And I think that's about right. $12 to $18 million in guarantees per offseason is what we can account for. And that's about it. But the good thing about the Cordy Glenn acquisition is it really didn't add anything to their guarantees, so it should allow them to continue. People said, well, that took up their $15 million they wanted to spend. I could see that number getting lost in translation, that $15 million. Or if they told, Jeff Hobson, we only got $15 million to spend. Are they talking guarantees? $15 million in cash and checks you're going to write out this month? Because I could see that making sense. Because they routinely go over that $15. They said $15 last year and spent nearly $29 million in cap space. So I could see that being the number I use for the offseason, saying, okay, who can they spend on? What can they spend on? How many guys can they actually add? And right now I think they're still in position to add some people. I just think they're going to wait for this first wave to finish up.
No, man, get the wave. Get those guys. Get them. Come on, man. That would be the most exciting thing.
I'm getting premium talent, strong, and making a run at it. But I'm also very sure this team just signed Marvin Lewis to a 2-year extension. So they're obviously not.
Hey, but they traded for Cordy Glenn. It's changing. You wrote it about The Athletic, the offseason moves. They moved on from Adam Jones. Like, see, they're changing some.
I also, if you read that, though, it was, I wasn't watching Dumb and Dumber, but it reminded me of a scene from Dumb and Dumber where Lloyd trades in the Muttmobile, the big van that's like a dog, and Harry's walking down the middle of the highway because they drove a sixth of the country in the wrong direction. He wakes up, they're in the wrong area. So he's like, I'm leaving you. I'm out of here. I'm walking home. So, he's walking down, and next thing you know, you're done with this team. That was my analogy. We're done with this team. They've done enough. We trusted them to make the right moves during the Super Bowl window. They failed miserably, and now we're lost in the middle of nowhere, as far from the Super Bowl as we are from the first pick. So we're walking away. A lot of fans felt this way, right?
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, here we go. You hear ching, ching, ching behind you. You turn around. Who is it? Is it the Eagles making another move? The Browns spending all this cap money? What is it? Which team? No, it's the Bengals. And they signed Chris Baker, cut Adam Jones, and traded for Cordy Glenn. And you know what? We're right back in it, hopping on the back of that moped, and we're going to the Super Bowl. That's the angle I took to Rose.
All right. I got you.
So it's not like, yeah, they're a real team now. Everything's changing. We're so quick to jump back on as soon as they make.
I'm not on it yet. I've already convinced myself. Tyrann Mathieu and Ndamukong Suh need to be here.
And if it's not, I'm not watching them next year, James.
You're a damn liar. Oh, my God. Make sure you follow Joe on Twitter, at Joe Goodberry. I'm trying to think here. So what moves do you think they should make then?
I do like the Cameron Fleming suggestion. I like the idea. Is he 24 now, turning 25, I think, in May?
Yeah, I think so. I just call him 25, but yeah, I think it's coming up.
Yeah, right. Sometimes I struggle with that when I look at the age. Like, Cordy Glenn will be 29 in September. He's 28 now, but he'll be 29.
Yeah, he's 29 to me, yep.
Right, that's how I kind of look at it. What are they during the following or the season that's going to be played? So Fleming, he's young. I like his size, his length. He's a power guy. I think he fits in. He is kind of similar to Cordy Glenn in terms of not really being the most athletic guy, but you know, someone that's going to lean on defenders and ride them up through the game and open up run lanes. So I think that would put the onus on making sure you get the most athletic guy. Maybe that's a Christian Westerman at right guard. Maybe Cedric Ablaye gets a chance to play right guard. I'm not sure. But it may make you want to say, yeah, definitely James Daniels over Price, because that athleticism at center would really help on those outside running plays where your tackles really aren't going to get out there as much because they're not the greatest athletes. James Daniels would help on that. But besides that, I do think they could still look on the offensive line. Spencer Long just signed with the Jets, I think, and I saw that recently. He was on my list of he's a center from Washington. I like Jack Muhort. I didn't see if he was signed today or not, but he's the Colts right guard. He's played left guard. He played tackle in college. He was thought of as a tackle. He's had a knee injury 2 years in a row now, but he has played, and he's played well. I would, if you want to solidify the right guard spot, if he hasn't had that much interest now, I'd jump on it. But I think Tyler Eifert can be had now that we're going into that second wave.
I hope you're right. I want him.
They're gone. Right. At this point, where can you get a top-end talent? You're going to give up something, whether that's health, obviously, an Eifert situation. But if you can structure the contract around it, that's a huge addition to this offense that could use it. So I'm still for bringing back Tyler Eifert because you're not going to get a comparable weapon. And then now I look at 21 and in the draft, and I say, you start to get in the range for tight ends, and lay Mike Gesicki out of Penn State tested. He tested like an absolute freak. All the Penn State guys did, and that kind of actually raises a red flag to me. Like, what are they doing there, man? They got a great training program. No, seriously, they all did. You see that safety that Deion Sanders was like, this guy ran a 4.3, and he was a white guy?
Yeah, I get you, Deion. Like, white guys can't be fast, yeah.
Right.
I'm just kidding.
See? But
he's right,
phenomenally.
Though. Yeah.
I'm not fast. So I'm not
most white guys aren't fast compared. Aren't 4.4 fast. I get it. I was just kidding with the yeah.
Right. So when they all tested like that, I'm sitting here like, what is going on? Is Gesicki really that athletic? Because he didn't look that way on tape. He looks like a really good athlete and receiver. But the thing with him is, you kind of say, if he's not a tremendous athlete, am I going to take him in the first or second round? If I'm not going to build my offense around that guy, if he's just an average athlete but a good receiver, like a Chase Kaufman, let's say, you're going to say, I can't spend that valuable pick on him because he's not a guy I'm going to use like a Jordan Reed as a slot receiver. But the way he tested now, you say, okay, he tests like he's a phenomenal slot receiver. Actually, I put his spider chart, his athleticism chart at wide receiver, and the top comparable was Vincent Jackson. And I think that's actually the best comparable for him because he doesn't really play in line at tight end. He is, in all purposes, he is a tight end. He's a wide receiver, I mean. And Vincent Jackson, I think, is very comparable to play style. So I thought that was interesting that came up. And so for me, if they said Gesicki at 21, I wouldn't even be mad. I thought the value would be there later, but if they did it, I think you're adding a premium talent to the offense. And that was, we were supposed to talk about free agents, but getting to Eifert made me think of Gesicki, and that's how we run in circles.
No, I get it. I totally get it. I think, look, Tyler Eifert proven, if you can get him at a reasonable deal, you do it, an incentive-laden deal. And I think at this point, yeah, it's probably, I mean, how soon until you get to that point? I mean, we got to be there soon-ish.
Oh, I think we're probably in there now. It's interesting. Guys like Chris Smith and Andre Smith, that's why it's surprising they signed. That's like third wave type free agents.
I agree.
And teams jumped on them. And it's funny. I talked about this with someone else that it's funny because teams always wait for that bargain for that guy. They're like, oh, well, I really like him. But if I wait till week two, we can get him at a deal. Teams aren't messing around. You know, they're like, you know what? I like that guy. If I got to pay $2 million extra, the way the cap goes up, it doesn't matter. I'll pay him. So, The Bengals strategy of waiting and normally getting that LaFell or that Minter or that Nate Clements or Terrence Newman in the third week, fourth wave, whatever, that may not be as viable now because teams are jumping on these guys later. So I think if you were interested in Eifert, and obviously if he's not getting the calls he thought he would get, now's the time where you say, listen, we want you. It just has to be an incentive-laden deal based on games, snaps played, percentage of snaps, whatever the case may be, but it has to be based on performance.
Yeah, I'm all about it. I hope it happens. I do. I don't think this offense is going to be what people hope it is, even if they add to the O-line, unless you have a guy like Eifert. I just think red zone-wise, I can't trust the run game. This team hasn't ran the ball consistently in a hell of a long time.
10 years, Rudy Johnson.
I know it's been forever, man. I mean, maybe Benson in 2009, but even then, his numbers weren't crazy.
10 years ago,
that's true. Damn it, I'm old.
It goes by fast.
It does.
What'd you think of the report from Perfect to be traded to the Raiders, or at least talks have come up? Now it looks like it's some random guy and not completely random. It looks like he at least says he works for a news station, but I don't know. I thought it was at least interesting to think about.
It certainly was. The interesting thing to me about it was the fact that there was two different people who tweeted it. There's a guy in Vegas who tweeted it, and he covers the Raiders for Vegas now. And I was like, huh, I wonder where that's coming from. And then there was the original guy, let's see here. I'm looking it up. Chris Renkel from some make-believe station, CBS 42. It might be real. I don't know. And then Joe Arago.
Are there local news stations all the way in Channel 40s?
I
thought they're all in the first 12 or so.
Yeah, that's a thing. He says he says that Westlake, Ohio, Birmingham, Alabama is like his location. So let's just say he's wrong. But then another guy said it too. This Joe Arago from Vegas.
Benjamin Albright too. He's going to be, you know, one of those guys that he breaks a lot of stuff on Twitter. And you know, I feel like he's the Twitter version of our Adam Schefter and things like that, where you're going to get good news from him, credible-wise. And he retweeted it. So that's not a complete endorsement. As we know, retweets are not endorsements. But just in doing that, I was like, really? Maybe there's something to that.
Yeah, it's interesting. You better give me a lot, Raiders, if I'm giving up Vontaze.
But what would Vontaze be worth?
That's the thing. Like,
you need a first round pick, and I'm like, really? Would he get a first round pick? And I'm like, no, you're not getting a first for Perfect.
No, but that's would you give him up for a second?
Yeah,
you would.
I would.
You would
on the field.
You
would. I would.
You wouldn't. Shut. Get out of here. You just talked about all this. Bring Tyler Eifert in. Bring Tyler Eifert in because he's an elite talent. We're going to let Vontaze walk.
No one's offering me a second round pick for Eifert. If they were, Eifert walking.
Good God. This team.
I draft Gesicki with it. But listen, a second round pick, Raiders pick like what, 9, 10 in that range. They had to flip a coin for
Yeah, they got 10.
Second round linebacker, Leighton Vander Esch, Baker from Ohio State maybe. You know, it may be a half round too early, but Evans from Alabama. I think you could end up in a good situation with a guy that stays a little healthier and maybe adds a little athleticism. Now, don't get me wrong. Perfect changes the defense completely in the structure and mindset of the entire team.
Just remember you said this, Joe.
I know.
But
listen.
Yeah, trade him for a second. This team has 11 picks. Want more picks? Not the Browns. Go ahead.
But if it was me, I'd have 11 picks and I'd be moving up. I'd be trying to, I wouldn't be trading back to 21. I'd be trading to 5 and get Quentin Nelson, but that's besides the point. So.
He's going to go, he should go 3 to Indianapolis. I don't know why that's even a debate. That's the stupidest thing ever.
The Giants at 2 should consider it.
Yeah,
they're not taking Barkley, and they don't love a quarterback.
No, but by the way, Barkley's going to be there at 4 if the Browns want him. I'll go ahead and break the news right now. He'll be there at 4 if they want him.
Especially once Buffalo trades up for their quarterback.
Exactly. It's insane. I don't know why people are... Barkley 1, that's dumb. That's just... It's dumb. He's going to be there at 4.
It's not happening. It's not happening.
When's the last time we saw a running back go top 3?
Ezekiel? With Elliott, or did he go...
He went 4th.
Yeah.
Like, I just...
Yeah, both of them went ahead of him, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So, I just... Yeah, I don't know, man. I can't believe you just said you trade Vontaze Burfict. And I'm not even a big Burfict guy. He hates me. But I don't know.
He barely plays. He's as unreliable as Eifert is.
I agree. And I've made that... See, that's the argument I've made for Eifert. Everyone loves Vontaze Burfict. He's played in 56% of his games in the past 4 years. Yeah. Eifert's played in 49% of his games over his career. So it's close.
If someone was offering you a second-round pick for Tyler Eifert, would you take it?
I think Vontaze Burfict is better than Tyler Eifert, but yes, I see where you're going. Like, Vontaze Burfict changes the whole defense. I think Vontaze Burfict, you're going to call me crazy. I think he's more important to the defense when he's out there and playing at a high level than Geno.
Yes, you're crazy. But
no, <I'm not.
laughs> to flip the scenario a little bit.
Yes, you're crazy.
I mean, if Burfict was a free agent right now, I'd say, yeah, I want him back. So it's not that I'm saying I don't want him.
A second rounder?
A top 10 second rounder.
For what?
Every year. That's Joe Mixon. That's every year.
Yeah, because Joe Mixon had off the field. Joe Mixon's a top 10 pick. Joe Mixon's...
Dalvin Cook went in the top and went in the second round. The Bengals
character issues with him, too. The Bengals thought he had more issues than Joe Mixon.
I'm picking bad examples, but you know what I mean.
Picking all these guys that have, like, really bad character flaws, according to their teams. Tyreek Hill went in the 5th round. Trade him for a 5th.
Trade him for a 5th. No, I'm not being that guy. I'm saying
I know
the second round pick is a premium pick, especially in the top 10. Every year, you go home on that Thursday after watching the draft, and you go, man, there's some really good guys there.
All right, so you would trade him. You are on record saying you'd trade Andy.
What if that's Billy Price? I'm about to get all the people listening. What if that's Billy Price? You want to trade Burfict for Billy Price?
No. No. This is a center-rich draft. No. What?
That's a good point, James.
It's a linebacker deep draft.
Will Hernandez is still there. Man, Will Hernandez at right guard. You're not trading Burfict for that?
For a guard? No. Alex Redmond will play guard. Alex Redmond.
Sure.
That's like Cedric O'Leary.
Jordan Evans will play linebacker in place of Burfict.
That's not the same. It might be. Yeah, but they don't have a guard right now. They have Burfict. And you get rid of Burfict, yeah, Jordan Evans is going to play, along with Vinny Ray. You want
right,
that?
If you don't draft Will Hernandez or Isaiah Wynn, guess who's playing at guard? Alex Redmond.
Okay, so let's just give up. So you would trade Burfict and Dalton. Who are you keeping?
AJ Green.
Oh, man.
Start my roster.
You would not trade Burfict. I don't believe you at all. I don't believe you one bit. I think you're trolling right now.
I would have a hard time pulling the trigger. I would. But, you know, if it was the 10th pick, where the Raiders pick, you would do it, right?
10th pick for Burfict?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, would I trade Burfict for Roquan Smith? Yeah.
Right.
Would I trade him for Edmonds from Virginia Tech? Yeah.
Okay, so there's a value gap in there, and
a big gap. That's like 30 picks.
Yeah, but there's so many years. Every year, I would say there is a good chunk of first round guys still available in that top of that second round. Reggie Ragland was a first rounder a couple years ago, and he ends up being there in the second round for the Bills, and they traded up for him. And he didn't work out for the Bills. They traded him to the Chiefs. I thought he played excellent actually when he got a chance. But I'm just saying, there's always guys there. I'm going to bring up, I'm like, get my computer here. History second round picks.
You're losing me.
All of them.
You're losing me right now.
I know.
So out of the two, here, we'll do this. We'll do a poll.
Okay.
And tweet us at James Erpine, at Joe Goodberry. Which one is crazier? Which is the crazier idea? trading Vontaze Burfict for a second round pick so we can get some center in a center rich draft, or especially they have 11
starting center.
They have 11 picks. They have 11 picks. They do. They can get that center anyways, by the way.
You're right.
Or cutting Sean Williams. God, I'm taking people's jobs away. This sounds awful.
What are you doing?
Sean Williams.
Putting a man with a family out on the street.
Michael Johnson and Brandon LaFell and bringing in. See, mine's. Yours is splashy, too, though. Mine's splashy. Bringing in Ndamukong Suh and Tyrann Mathieu.
You could pick one of those guys, and you're still crazier.
What?
Yeah.
Are you serious? How is that? That's smart. Because then you have Atkins and Burfict on the same defense.
Are we taking in an account how crazy of an idea that would be to, like, Mike Brown?
I don't know, because he didn't trade Chad Johnson when Chad wanted out. So I don't know. I don't think he would trade Vontaze Burfict either.
I also don't think he's going to cut a bunch of players that he knows and values and goes to sign Tyrann Mathieu. So
he should.
Well, he should, yeah.
So which one's crazier? Let us know on Twitter. You're ridiculous. I can't believe we're...
I didn't know you loved Vontaze Burfict so much.
I don't. That guy screamed at me in the locker room when I was interviewing Carlos Dansby.
Your friend? You guys hanging out after this?
Second round pick. Are you kidding me?
A premium second. I didn't just say a second. We're not talking about we're not talking about the 70th pick or the 60th or the 50th. We're talking about...
Like the 40th pick.
Yeah, 40th.
And they have the 46th pick.
Man, load up.
It's a 42nd pick. Yeah.
Imagine what you can do with that.
You're finding a Vontaze Burfict? How many Vontaze Burficts are there on Earth? Like six?
He is unique, though, because...
Yeah, okay. Here we go. Explain it away.
I can explain it away. I can explain why Burfict is so good and so valuable for this team and easily could be the MVP of any game he steps on the field for. But at the same time, availability is an issue, and especially when they haven't drafted linebackers well. And so that's the case against me, too, because if I'm saying I'm going to replace Burfict with a drafted linebacker at that spot, there's no guarantee they're going to get a guy that's even halfway decent. Nick Vigil, Jordan Evans, they're okay, but, flashes, that's all we got. They didn't actually produce well. But P.J. Dawson, just a couple years ago, they struggled to draft linebackers.
Yeah, they have struggled to draft linebackers.
That's why they're paying all the time for A.J. Hawk, James Harrison, and Kevin Minter, and I think I'm missing someone.
And you're the one who wants to trade away the one that they got right in the draft by signing him undrafted.
I do think that they can still end up signing a linebacker here in free agency.
I agree. I hope they get Tahir Whitehead. I want them to spend all their money. I want them to spend all of it.
Yeah.
He's like the second most valuable linebacker in the draft. I'm like,
I
want to
be the Eagles right now. The Eagles are $2 million over the cap coming into 4 o'clock. Did they cut Michael Kendricks? I think that's what was going to get them under it. But that's what I want to be. The people talking about cap hell. Oh, you're cap, you can't sign anyone.
Yeah.
You got to see every team in the league signing people.
Yep. But the Bengals. Hey, they traded for Cordy Glenn, though. Championship.
You're right. You're right. It's not all bad. You know what, too? A lot of people say, well, the Packers don't sign anyone. The Packers, every once in a while, they do. And they'll splash for, Julius Peppers or Charles Woodson, or in this case, Jimmy Graham. Julius Peppers? Yeah, they'll splash once in a while for those guys.
Yeah, I agree. I was wondering when the heck they would... do that. And that's the thing, is even Green Bay is doing it now. Everyone's doing it, but no. You know where Eifert's going to end up, by the way? Well, we can end with this. You know where Eifert's going to end up?
Pittsburgh.
Yep.
Is that what you were going to say?
Yeah, he's going to end up in Pittsburgh. That's exactly what's going to happen.
The Steelers operate very similarly. I didn't know this until recently, last year and a half, looking at some of their contracts, how they were struggling. Not so much struggling. They're able to retain a guy like Antonio Brown the same way the Bengals do with A.J. Green. But you see how much guaranteed money. You see they don't like to cut guys early. And I'm like, oh, they are similar, but they win. So I don't think of them the same way.
I don't know.
Big Ben.
Yeah,
that's a big difference.
That matters a lot, Andy Dalton. But
that's why the Packers could be the Packers with Rodgers without spending crazy money out there, because it's a big difference.
True or false? Andy Dalton is better than Tyrod Taylor, but the gap isn't that significant.
Oh, that's completely true.
Thank you.
100% true.
Got into a debate about that today. Yeah, Cleveland has a quarterback close to Andy.
Cleveland has closed the gap on the Bengals just by adding Tyrod, because the quarterback position has now went from a B, you know, if the Bengals have a B, the Browns went to a B-minus if they used Tyrod correctly. And so the gap, the roster wasn't that far apart. The Browns had issues, but they've added talent. They have a buttload of draft picks. I wouldn't be surprised if that gap is very close this year.
Yeah, I agree. Especially, they're going to get a receiver.
Saquon Barkley?
Oh, yeah. Barkley at 4. Minka Fitzpatrick. Do you like Minka? Are you a fan?
I am a fan. But, again, the same thing we talked about with Matthew. You're going to have to let him play safety corner. And not every team feels comfortable doing that. And if you do, I'm cool with that. For the Bengals, we would replace Darquez Bernard, in my opinion, rather than be played directly at safety, because just how he fits. So that made me like him a little bit less. But, yeah, I think he's a really good player.
Yeah.
The way Nick Saban talks about him, I think, is key. He's like, he's the smartest guy I've ever had. He's creating game plans with us and film room junkie, and he's lining everybody up. He knows everyone's assignment on every play. And I'm like, yeah, if you've had a lot of guys come through Alabama and he talks about them that way, this guy might be special.
Yeah. Yeah, that's another team, by the way, I think will back up the Brinks truck potentially for a Tyrod. Maybe. I could see it.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I think like the Jets, if he gets back with Todd Bowles, because Bowles was there when he was with the Cardinals.
Yeah, they should. Here's the bottom line. The Bengals picked Marcus Hunt over him. I lost my mind. That's what should have happened. They should have picked him then. That's it.
Everyone should have picked him, though.
No, but come on, Joe. You remember that? Like, that's the one.
I can't remember who the secondary was, though, that year.
The one I wanted. They had just picked Drake Kirkpatrick in the first round. The year before.
Right. That year. They really needed a corner then. Yeah. They had Newman on the roster, right?
Yeah. So they picked Drake Kirkpatrick in the first round the year before. So that was 12. So Tyrod got drafted in 13, I believe.
Yeah. It was the Gio Bernard and Marcus Hunt in the second round.
Oh, my God.
Eifert in the first.
Yep.
That was a bad draft, too.
Think about that. Eifert, Gio, Tyrod. That would have been their. Oh.
Sean Williams. They went Sean Williams right after, too. So. It's not that they didn't need a safety.
Tyron's better than Sean Williams.
Oh, yeah. I'm just saying. it's not like the same safety wasn't on their radar.
Yeah.
It clearly was.
Yeah.
They overdrafted Sean Williams. That's one of the ones I didn't like, that at least panned out to be a solid starter.
They nailed. Yeah, because he was. There was the other kid. Was it Battle or what was it from?
Rambo.
Rambo. Yeah, Battle.
Rambo.
Yep. That was the guy that people thought out of Georgia was going to be the safety that went first.
He had the ball skills in the range, and he's a free safety type. And Rambo ended up playing for a bunch of teams and having, like, I think for the Bills one year, he had 6 or 8 picks. He played. There was something missing with him, and it didn't allow him to stick with every team.
Yeah, that's
that's the stuff you don't see with prospects, though. You know, especially if you're not talking to them or meeting them or talking to scouts and coaches. You know, from my seat, I don't see that stuff if he's not mentally all there, or he doesn't like to get physical, or maybe he's just a diva or whatever the case may be. I'm not being specific to Rambo, but you don't see that stuff.
Yeah, that's true. That's part of it that you have no idea about.
And Sean Williams was like a captain. He was the one guy lining up and calling the plays for the defensive backfield for Georgia. So, like, he didn't have to be a great athlete or have the best ball skills. He was a compact, strong guy who tested well, and he tested better than what I thought he looked like on tape. And, it's worked out. So, you know, for the most part, they didn't miss.
Yeah, I agree. Man, oh, man. Well, hopefully they make some moves. This was fun. Tyrod Taylor is going to lead the Browns to a Super Bowl, and the Bengals are. What would make you angry? I got asked this today, and we'll end it with this because I said that like 5 minutes ago. What would make you angry as a Bengals fan? The Browns getting a playoff win before the Bengals, or the Steelers winning a Super Bowl?
Oh, man. That's tough. I would say the Steelers. Because the Browns are like your little brother or the guy you know that you kind of feel bad for that just keeps getting bad breaks and bad luck. So the Steelers are the bully. They're the guy who beats you up and then doesn't get in trouble. He's the guy, he's what, you're at school, you're in grade school, right? He's always punching you in the shoulder every day or pushing you into a locker in this scenario. We're a little nerdy kid. And, you know, one day we're like, this is it. I'm tired of it, and I'm going to hit them back. And so you hit them. You hit the Steelers back. And as soon as you do, the principal's right there. And then you get caught, and you get in trouble, and they go on and, you know, get accolades, and they get celebrated. And here you are. You're looked at as the bad guy. That's who the Steelers are. So screw them. Don't let them win.
Yeah, I actually agree with that. I would much rather watch the Browns win a playoff game. I think most people would act madder about that initially because they've seen a Steelers Super Bowl win, but ultimately I never want to see the Steelers win another Super Bowl ever. So that's
and,
it. And
depending on who the Browns are playing, I could actually see myself rooting for them in that scenario because I like the underdog. I kind of feel like I've always gravitated towards that. So, yeah, I could see myself saying, yeah, go ahead, Browns beat the Ravens or the Colts or Chargers or whoever it is.
Yeah, I would rather Browns-Bengals be first, second in the AFC North than the other two teams, always. So.
Oh, in fact, I would love to see that.
Yeah, me too. Me too. And then, you know, your Bills can be somewhere in there as well.
My Bills? Come on.
I'm just kidding. Well, you just
live. The Bills.
Yeah, I know. I'm just kidding. Did you fill out a bracket?
No. What? I haven't filled out a bracket in years.
What? Really?
Yeah, I don't. Is that weird?
Yeah. Yeah. The fact that you answered. No. Is that weird? Yeah, that's a little weird. You don't have like a bracket at work?
No, I haven't been at work in a couple weeks because we've been
negotiating
a contract.
Well,
maybe there is. I don't know.
Do you email? I mean, usually they use email. You use email at your work?
Yeah, yeah, but I
use no bracket. No bracket. Wow.
No bracket. So, to be honest, I haven't filled out a bracket in probably 5 years.
Interesting. I'm judging.
You shot within the first weekend.
I'm judging
so
you.
What is that?
I'm judging you a little.
Judge me.
He's Joe Goodberry of The Athletic. Follow him on Twitter at Joe Goodberry. All right, last thing. Prediction. Who do the Bengals sign next?
They sign Tyler Eifert.
All right, I hope you're right. Joe, I appreciate the time, man.
All right, James. Take care.
He's Joe Goodberry. Make sure you check out his work in The Athletic. I hope you enjoyed that. You asked for it. I pretty much threw it out there. Whether or not we should do that again, which basically Joe and I just BSing about whatever football topics come to mind. I'm on Twitter at James Rapine, at Locked On Bengals. Check out LockedOnBengals.com. And earlier today, recorded a podcast specifically about signing Tyrann Mathieu. Check that out, LockedOnBengals.com, the iHeartRadio app, Google Play, iTunes, and wherever you get your podcast. I'm James Rapine. Thank you so much for listening to the Locked On Bengals podcast.